Hi there. Tonight, we're going to talk about synchronicity and angel guidance and how our angels try to communicate with us, the messages that they send us. We have an earth team, but we also have a celestial team. And it took me many years to learn about angels and about spiritual guides and ascended masters and energy. But it has been something that I've been really interested in. I talk about these topics at my retreats, especially the woman retreat, the woman's retreat and the men's retreats. Those are individual retreats to deal with your personal issues, issues from childhood, emotional issues, things that make us stuck. And oftentimes I find that people are stuck because their spiritual channel, their third eye chakra, their crown chakra is just blocked. And if you were raised with more than one religion, as was my case, I felt I was spiritually, religiously abused going through my childhood. I blocked this channel. I blocked this channel for many, many years because I associated spiritual opening with religion. And so I was like, no, thank you. It took me many, many years to open myself up. So we are spiritual beings and spirit makes contact with us. Now, tonight is not a religious class. Everyone is welcome. Everyone's beliefs are welcome. You don't need to have a certain belief to believe in angels or to be touched by an angel or to have a divine experience. A lot of people have experiences that they don't understand. They call them weird, or they're, you know, esoteric, or they're spiritual, and they don't get it because sometimes you can't understand this realm with the cerebral cortex. You can't understand it with the rational mind. It's not a formula. It's not mathematics. Spirit sometimes kind of wants us to kind of open ourselves. So the fact that you're even tuning in to this means that you are spiritually open, awakened, you're on a journey of awakening, but there's something inside of you that tonight you wanted to tune in here. So a big warm welcome, big virtual hug during these COVID-19 times, big, big virtual hugs. I want to give out a big salute. Salutation tonight to two of my best friends, Sue, who celebrates a big birthday today. So happy, happy birthday if you're online, my darling. And Linda, who also has her birthday today, another one of my best friends. And so I just want to do a shout out. And if you're joining me, I am honored. I'm honored. So I want to talk about synchronicities first. So synchronicities, the word, the term synchronicity was coined by a psychoanalyst, Carl Jung, Austrian. And he said that it wasn't a coincidence. It was a meaningful coincidence. So he was the first one that coined it. But since him, there's been so much written about synchronicities. Another word for it is serendipity. There's the movie Serendipity. It plays a very important role in many of our lives, and some of us are tuned in and some of us are tuned out. Today, I think that when there's synchronicities for me in my life, I've had some very powerful synchronicities. I'll share some of those with you tonight. But to me, it's always like my message, my spiritual team kind of is sending me a message. And it's like, yep, 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 Grace, you're on the right track. Yep, this is where we want you to go. This is the pot of gold. This is where we want you to visit next. This is who we want you to talk to next. This is the book we want you to read. And so I feel very much directed and inspired by the celestial spiritual realm. And I feel like I'm in contact. Sometimes I'm just talking to myself. I walk down the street, I'm in the grocery store, I'm in the car, I talk to myself. And then sometimes I thought I'm going crazy, but really I think I'm just talking to my angels. I'm talking to my team. I'm talking to my guides who probably know things. I used to play a little game with myself that I would talk to my guides and I'd be like trying to look for a parking spot. You know, if you're in the GTA, you know, it's very hard sometimes and you're in a hurry, which is kind of like the story of my life. And so I'm trying to find a parking spot and I'm like, okay, is it this row? Is it this row? If I turn this row, I think it's the airport. Like I'm trying to kind of park and then I'm trying to get to the airport in Buffalo or something. And I'm trying to get to like, get my flight. And I'm like, okay, am I going to find a parking spot? And I get this nudge. I get this feeling like, yes, turn here. It's like, I just download it. And always when I listen to that nudge or I listen to that downloaded feeling, which now I've kind of come to recognize, there's always a parking spot. And so then I'm like going, thank you, angels. So maybe you guys do something like that too. Anyhow, synchronicity is really, really amazing. And it's a sure sign that you're on the right path. So I want to share with you a few synchronicities. There was one of my goddesses, Cindy, and I did retreats in Sedona, Arizona. So Sedona is a place that I feel very spiritually connected to, and it's a very spiritual place. There's energy that's been measured by scientists called vortexes. There's different vortexes. There's Bell Rock Vortex, Airport Rock Vortex, Cathedral Rock, and there are all these different mountain places, and they're red, and it's just, they're just incredibly beautiful. If you've never been to Sedona, you know, I saw this bumper sticker when I was there. It said, God created the Grand Canyon, but God lives in Sedona. it's just spectacular. So Cindy didn't know whether or not she wanted to come to my Sedona retreat. And she was like hemming and hawing. And she wanted to do some work. And she was very, very connected to her stepdad. And her stepdad was a musician. He was a guitar player. So there we were. My classroom is up in the mountains. And they're all lying down on their yoga mat. And I've got music. And I'm leading them, you know, through this meditation. Every place that we go to, I do a different meditation, depending whether it's feminine energy or masculine energy. And I kind of download them in the moment. I don't have a script for them. I just kind of do them. And they're about hour long. After this meditation, she came to me. And she said, you know, I my stepdad came to me because he had died. So he's one of her spirit guides, but he's on the other side. And she said, you know, he came to me and she was very moved and she really loved him. And he loved her. And without telling you too much of her story, there is a free period of time where I said, okay, the meditation is over now, go and explore on your own. So it's just wild. It's just like orange rock and there are twisted junipers and there's like vegetation and people go mountain climbing, they rock climb. And Cindy was just walking around like in the middle of nowhere. It's all nature. It's like out in a forest kind of, you know, it's in nature. She looks down and she finds a guitar pick. She was flabbergasted. Oh my God, a guitar pick, my stepdad, guitar player. So anyway, she keeps this guitar pick in her wallet as a reminder that he's with her. And so maybe you've had an experience like that where you found something that just kind of, you know, reminds you that someone's with you. That's a synchronicity. Another synchronicity, one of the guys that I've come to learn about, his name is Greg Lavoie. He's an amazing author of the book called Vital Signs and Finding and Following an Authentic Life. So he used to be a reporter, and for years he had this feeling that he wanted to be a freelance writer, and he just never did anything about it. And one day he was driving home, and just before he turned off the ignition, he was hearing the song Desperado by the Eagles. And the line that he heard was, don't you draw the Queen of Diamonds. She will beat you if she's able. The Queen of Hearts is always your best bet. So he goes inside and opens the door. And there, right by his left foot, was a playing card, the Queen of Hearts. And he's like, how did this come to be? He sat there utterly dumbfounded. And in the next 2 years, he describes in his book, the next 2 years, he found queen playing cards in incredibly weird locations all over the world. A sidewalk in Cincinnati, a conference room in Santa Fe, a sand dune in Canyon Ranch in Oregon, mountain wilderness. He says, you know, I come from a family of scientists, detectives, journalists, nonfiction writers. and, you know, and New Yorkers. He goes, you know, you don't get much more cynical bunch than this, but here he was being touched by something sacred. And he got the message eventually. He got the message that the queen represented, his angels were sending him to do something more to do with his heart, his feelings, less intellect, less research, more intuition, more inner life. And, you know, he changed his life, and he did end up quitting his full-time job and pursued a life where it made him very, very happy. And now he's a guide on passion for many, many people. Mark Holland also, he's a co-author of a book called Synchronicity, and he says that the reason why there's in these synchronicities is because spirit world wants us to feel something. We go through most of our days, we feel something, and then we push the feelings down. And when there's a synchronicity in our midst, it's like the wow factor. It's like, are you kidding me? It's like, wow, it's something miraculous has happened, and it touches us. And so that's what he thinks. So this is like, the, you know, increases the mystery of life. So there is synchronicities that remind us that there's a great mystery here at play in our lives, in the universe, and that we may not understand the message, but if we pay attention, it can lead us towards greater purpose. And now my amazing synchronicity. So when I was a student at Queen's University, I had already met my husband, and we were really good friends. And then we decided that, you know, that we were going to get married someday. And we were studying one day, and we were at the library, and I thought, you know, I better come clean because I already had the girl's name. Should we ever have children? This was a non-negotiable. And so I thought, like, I better tell them. And so one thing that you need to know about me is that I had met this woman, a journalist from Scandinavia, out at the Calgary Stampede the summer before, because I had gone out there and gotten a job. And she was a beautiful woman, and her name was Kajsa, K-A-J-S-A. And the J is like an I sound, Kajsa. It means Catherine. And so I kind of parked this name in the back of my mind. I had never heard it before. I just thought, if I'm ever blessed with a little girl one day, this is going to be her name. So fast forward, you know, my husband and I are having that talk, and, you know, we're making plans. And what you need to know about my husband is that he was studying mathematics, and he was studying physics, science, but he was a very much avid chess player. He played chess, and he would go to tournaments, and he was the only person that had a chess library. He had all kinds of books on the game of chess. And I said to him, you know, I kind of whispered and said, I think we were in Douglas Library, and I said, if we ever have children, I said, I just want you to know that I've already got a girl's name. And he goes, oh yeah, really? And he just kind of like, I said, yeah. And he said, what's the name? And I was kind of excited and nervous, and I said, Kajsa. And he said, what did you say? I said, Kajsa. And he said, Grace, Kajsa is the goddess of chess. I couldn't believe it. And so it was like the universe was saying to me, yep, this is the guy playing for you to find. And so now, almost 40 years later, yes, we have a daughter named Kajsa, and we're still together. So I kind of think that it was my angels giving me that message. So I hope you like my synchronicity story. There's so many other beautiful synchronicities we can talk about. I just want you to pay attention to it. Synchronicities can be something even not so big. It can be you're thinking of a friend she calls. You're thinking about a book, and then you see the book, you know, flashing, and, you know, it's advertised to you, but you're thinking about it, and your friend's telling you about it, or a wine, or something that you want to do, or a concert, or music, or a course you want to take. There's messengers, and they're always leading us where we need to be next if you open your mind and you pay attention. So I encourage you to pay attention to the beautiful mystical language of synchronicity. But that's not the only way the angels communicate with us. I want to share with you 10 more ways that the angels and spiritual guides or God or universe, whatever you feel comfortable saying, okay, and how they communicate with us. Number one, feeling a touch or an embrace. Sometimes you can't help it, but you feel like there's someone touching you or someone holding you. And people report this a lot. It's like I had this client once who told me that he was falling asleep, and he was doing, he was working 24-hour shift work, and he was driving home. And he said he just started to fall asleep, and he felt that someone was grabbing him by the shoulders and lifting him up. And it happened 3 times. And then he just pulled off the road, and he slept for a little while, and then he woke up. And he just feels that it was, he said to me, Grace, I am sure that was my grandmother, that just, you know, her and her team of, you know, friends in the spirit world saved my life that night. And so he felt that. I have other people who've told me that sometimes they have like a brush or like a hug, and they just feel something, but there's nobody around them. It's like, what happened here? Oftentimes, if you lose someone for a couple of weeks, I have read that their spirit doesn't ascend right away, especially if it was a very tragic death and the person left behind wasn't ready. And so emotionally and intellectually, it was like a shock. So they hang around, their spirit hangs around, and they do put their arm around you. If you're an empath, if you're intuitive, if you're sensitive, you're going to feel it. Children feel it. When my little girl was about 3 or 4 years old, my grandma, my nonna, died. And she'd wake up and she'd say, Nonucella? And I'd say, Nonucella? She goes, yes. You know, she would say, she's in the room. And I'm convinced that she probably could see her or feel her, because I was so connected to my nonna that I'm sure she came to visit my house, but I couldn't see her, but my daughter could see her at 3 years old. So feeling of touch or embrace, that's one way. Okay, number two, dreams. So some people they download the messages when they go to sleep. Now, why is this? Well, when our physical body goes to that place, it's a magical place. I don't know if you've seen the movie Inception, but you know, dream within a dream within a dream. It's a really, really magical place. They say that if you have dreams that you're flying or you're in an airplane, it's a spiritual dream. It's a spiritual evolution. Your spirit is going through different chambers, different schools. It's ascending. You know, so there's all kinds of guides. There's the Jungian dream analysis guide. I remember my mom telling me about dreams. You know, I come from a long line of, you know, I don't know, Dregas. In Italian, the word is drega, which in English means like witch, but people, women that had very psychic, intuitive powers. And my grandmother was like that. My mother is like that. I'm like that. My daughter's like that. And so my dream world is very, very rich. I got the title of my book, Take the Step, The Bridge Will Be There. I got that title in a dream. I discuss how I got that and what the dream was specifically in the introduction of my book, if you've read that. So when we go to sleep, our, you know, cognitive mind gets a rest. And so spiritual mind kind of takes over. And, you know, we are often feeling alone, disconnected from our spiritual angels and our celestial team. So when we're in sleep mode, it's like, you know, our spirit can fly. And it's also called astral traveling. I remember when I was younger, I was so interested in this whole astral traveling. And I remember meeting, you know, a guide, a woman who could astral travel at night when she went to sleep, and she'd go visit her daughter in Europe, and she would go to different places, and then she'd remember. Most of us probably do this, but we don't remember. So if you want messages from your angels when you go to sleep, I recommend that just before falling asleep that you talk to your angels. If you have a loved one who has died and who you were connected to and who you love, I really believe that if you loved a person and they're gone, that the connection is eternal. It's because love is the vehicle. It is the tunnel. Love is the tether. It's the string that holds us to that person. And so your connection can be made with that person when you're in spirit world, when you're sleeping in your dream world. But you can ask for a message, ask for that person to come to you, and then keep a little notebook by your bed so that when you wake up and the dreams are fresh, okay, then you can, you know, jot them down. Now, I hate waking up with like an alarm that jolts you, you know, into beta mind, into the awake conscious mind, because you're in alpha and you're in theta, very deep, deep sleep states. And then when you've got this alarm, you know, it makes you kind of startled you awake, and then you forget your dreams. So if you can, you know, wake up when your body is ready to wake up. Leave a little bit of light somewhere in the room where then when the light comes in, your biological clock knows it's time. And as you wake up gently, you will remember more of your dreams. So jot down any details and then, you know, think about it. Think about what these dreams mean. I had a dream recently. Friends of mine, I had a little boy, have a little boy. But one night I had a dream that this little boy was holding a little baby and the baby was a little girl. And so I had heard that they might want a second child, but they weren't ready for it. They weren't talking about it. I didn't know if it was, you know, whatever. But my dream, he was holding definitely a little girl and we were all, you know, oohing and aahing and with this beautiful, precious baby. When I woke up, I remembered the dream and I texted my friend. And I said, just want you to know, both of you guys, I had a dream that your son was holding a little girl. I don't know what that means. And then I just kind of forgot about it. 4 months later, I get a text that said, you're not going to believe this, but we're expecting. And I did the math. And I went back to the text message that you sent. And I believe that the day you sent had the dream is the day that this child was conceived. Now, I don't know if it's a girl or a boy, but if it's a girl, I'm going to be totally blown away. And so I was so excited. I just thought like, oh my goodness, this little spirit came to me and come and said, hi, I'm ready to come. And, you know, I'm going to come and I've chosen my parents and there's this connection with me. On Christmas Day last year, a little girl was born and everyone thought it was a little boy. And I was the only one that thought it was a little girl and she thought it was a little girl, but everyone who saw her said it looks like another boy. So that's one of my kind of success dreams that spirit was communicating with me. So that's number two, it's dreams. Number three, angels send us feathers. They send us heart stones, shapes. Heart shapes, different things that are meaningful to you. That's another way that I call these like little angel kisses, you know, or God kisses. A lot of people believe in the feather theory. I don't find feathers. Feathers are not my thing, but they say that if you find little white feathers, it means everything is okay. But if it's gray, it means that, you know, angels know that you're going through a hard time. If it's a gray feather, the angels are saying, I'm walking with you. I'm walking next to you. I'm holding you. You're not alone. And so there's a lot of discussion about feathers and, you know, being sent by a spirit world. What I find for me is heart shapes. I have seen the most outstanding, the most bewildering heart shapes around the world in the most amazing places. Not only that, is I find heart shapes of rocks. So I'm walking along and the heart shapes just jump at me and I see like natural heart shapes. So obviously in Sedona, on the beach, all these places I've been in the world, I've got like little heart shapes that like, you know, the universe has sent me these hearts. But I also see heart shapes. Two nights ago, I went for a walk with my husband and on the street, the way the heat has kind of transformed a little bit of tar that's on the road. That, you know how they come along and they fill up the potholes with this like little drop of tar? Well, one of the drops of tar was in this perfect shape of a heart. I hadn't noticed it before because I think it took some sunshine to make it warm for it to kind of get nice and full like a heart. I just couldn't believe it. On my street, this beautiful heart shape right there. I've been out west on near Comox on Vancouver Island. I remember I was invited there to do a woman's retreat. And there was a lot of pain that weekend. There was a lot of sadness. There was a young woman who had lost her mom and she was grieving a lot. And I had my arms around her and we all were there for her that weekend. And I remember saying, I remember these words coming to me saying, you know what? She is here. I feel her. But she's going to send you a sign. She's going to send you a sign that she is here. And about 20 minutes later, we were all upstairs overlooking the ocean. And there's a sandbar. And the sandbar was in the shape of a heart. We all saw it. It was like unbelievable. And this woman said, my mother loved hearts. I always bought hearts for her. Mother's Day, her birthday, she loved heart-shaped anything. And there she was. I've seen broken windows and really bizarre, a broken window, someone threw a stone, but it's in the shape of a heart. I have seen heart shapes, all kinds of places. And for me, it's always like, I'm not alone. My angels are with me. My nonna just sent me a message. My nonno Emilio sent me a message. My beautiful mother-in-law Lucy sent me a message. And it's like, it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool not to feel like you're alone and like, this is all there is. So heart stones, shapes, feathers. One of my friends, Jeannie, she lost her beloved partner due to cancer. And he had red hair, but really, really, really curly. And she would write to me. Years had gone by. She had cleaning ladies. She had vacuumed. Years had gone by. She was still finding curly little red hairs that belonged to her husband in different places. And those were the days where he was just saying, hey baby, I'm here. I'm here, I haven't left you. And it'd give her such comfort when she found these little red curly hairs that they're unmistakably, they had to be her husband's. And it was years later, and it was like logically, it did not make sense, but there they were. So, number four, another way angels communicate is through flickering lights, electricity. Flickers of light and as well orbs in photographs. So I don't know if you've ever seen these, but let me talk about flashes of white orbs. I didn't really believe in this. I was a real skeptic. You know, I studied philosophy. So for me, I have to kind of really, really wrap my brain around something. I'm not one of these people that just believes anything I hear. I just have to kind of look into things and experience it for myself. And I just could not believe the orbs that show up at my retreats, especially my women's retreats, especially during some of the most difficult, you know, exercises where they're grieving and they're feeling a lot of pain. I would just take pictures sometimes and I would see these balls of light and I didn't understand what they were. At first I thought it was dust. I thought it was, but then you're outside. And there's like, you know, total calm in the middle of the summertime. It's like trees and there'd be these balls of light. So I've studied it a little bit and these are called orbs and these are ascended masters. They're people who have died on the other side. And digital photography catches them because it's light. It's like, it's so fast. And so the spirit is light. So when you do the flickering, they just move. And it's unbelievable. And the oohs and ahs that happen at my retreats. And I try not to, you know, make a big deal about this because I don't want people who just don't believe like the way I was. I don't want to be forcing it down their throat. But I bet you if you opened up your, you know, your iPhone full of photographs, or if you opened up a photo album from way, you know, from years ago, because years ago we used to actually take photos and put them in photo albums. We don't do that anymore. Now we've got all kinds of things like electrically, digitally, on our phones and on our laptops. But I bet you if you looked at some of these photos, you will see balls of light over people's heads, just lingering in you know, up there, like in a ceiling, sometimes on a body. And, you know, you probably just kind of like discounted it. You probably never thought anything of it. I have to say that during my daughter's first dance, when she got married and she had her first dance and we were all around her, these are photographs that were taken by the photographer. And then the proofs were sent to us. I noticed that there was several orbs. And my first instinct was it was my husband's parents, because his father had died. I've never met him. He was there, and I'm sure he would want to have been there at his granddaughter's wedding. And my beautiful mother-in-law, she had died just a few years earlier, and I felt that she was really there. And so there's these two big orbs, and they're all around Kaisa as she's dancing her first dance. And I thought, it's got to be them. I'm getting emotional here. So at my women's retreats, the orbs are unbelievable. I have quite a collection. I don't share these on Facebook or publicly because I find that they're very sacred. And, you know, they show up for my women or my men that are going through some hard times. Like sometimes people die and you have unresolved issues, you have unresolved words, and you've never spoken. And then these orbs come to you to say, it's okay. No, I love you. It's all forgiven. It's fine. And they hang out around you. So sometimes if somebody can point that out, it gives us a lot of comfort to know that they're communicating to us. I mean, think about it. Think about the popularity of mediums. When a medium shows up here at the local hotel and there's an advertisement, oh my God, the ballroom isn't big enough for how many people who have unresolved words that they want to say to the deceased loved one. So I think we're all so hungry for like a spiritual contact or message, you know, that it doesn't freak us out anymore the way it used to, that it's something way more acceptable now. So I encourage you to look at your photographs and take a look. I remember one time I went to visit my girlfriend out in Seattle, and it was right after her husband had died. And when I was on the plane going out there, like, I just couldn't believe it. Like, you know, he was my age, and this was about, I don't know, 7-8 years ago. And so I remember talking to him on the plane and just going, you know, I hope you're around your, you know, your wife and your boys. I don't know what happened to you. You know, obviously it was your time to go, but please send me a message. Send me a message when I'm out there. And I got there, and the first night, her little boy, who was only about 10 years old at the time, he takes, you know, the camera, and he takes a picture of me and his mom. And right over the mom's head, not my head, her head, this like football size, huge white orb over her head. I still have the photo. It was amazing. And it was taken by a child, and it was just a digital camera. Anyway, angels are there. Spirits are there. Ask for a message, ask for a sign. And I am positive that you will receive your sign and your message. Don't be skeptical. Open your heart. The fact that you're tuning into this, you are, you know, you are ripe. You are ready for spirit messages and signs. Number five, another way that they communicate is through smell or scent. Now, this doesn't happen to me. I usually kind of feel it. I'm more of a kinesthetic. I feel it. I get the light thing happening. I get the orbs. But smell or scent, no. But many people can do this. Sometimes they miss their loved one and they will smell the perfume that the person used to wear. But there's no way in hell that the perfume could be around. But suddenly they get this whiff. You know, a friend of mine loved sweet pea, the scent of sweet pea. And she said that her grandmother would always wear sweet pea perfume. Well, every now and then she would just get this scent, just kind of, you know, wafting into the room, and she'd say, how is that possible? And she knew that it was her grandmother sending her the message. So it depends on which channel is very, very developed for you. Some people, they might be a scent person, and angels communicate in the way in your channel. If that's a channel that's a strong channel for you, that's going to be the way they communicate. So pay attention to that. Number six, spirits also love to use electricity. So I was talking about orbs earlier. Orbs are balls of light that show up in photographs. But electricity is more like flickering lamp posts, lamp lights on the street, for example. Electricity in your home where lights just flicker or they turn off, or you have trouble with the toaster, or you have trouble with electronics. You know, they're beings and frequencies of light. Spirits are frequencies of light, right? The fastest speed of light. And so sometimes through electricity is one way that they can communicate, is to say, hey, I am here, pay attention, because, you know, we just don't get it. We just, you know, we're so physical, we're such solid form here. I don't know if you remember the movie Ghost, where Patrick Swayze was trying to get a message to his beloved, and he was, you know, had died, and he was in the spirit world, and he was trying to get a message to her so much, and he just couldn't. And I sometimes think that, you know, that's how spirits are. They want so much to get a message to us, but they're, you know, ethereal. They're, you know, they're invisible. And, you know, we're in the concrete, solid world, and it's very hard. So electricity sometimes is the vehicle. So pay attention to street lamps flickering, because I think that could be, you know, messages to me whenever I'm outside and I'm going for a walk and all of a sudden the street lamps flicker. I always just thinking, okay, I'll say, you know, is it Nonna or is it this person? Is it this person? I had a really good friend, Darcy, recently. About 2 years ago, he died of a brain tumor, and he was my age, and he was a really, really good friend. Him, his wife, and his children are like family to me. And sometimes I'll just say, is that you, Darcy? And then if it's like another light that comes right away, I just think, yep. So they communicate. If it doesn't come back, and I go, no, it's not you. Okay, is it my mother-in-law? And then it's like, I wait. And it's funny, it's a little game that I play with myself. And I encourage you, if that's, you know, electricity, if you notice funny stuff. So number seven, so number six was electricity and spirits using electricity to communicate with the living. And number seven is spirits using butterflies, dragonflies, ladybugs, and fireflies. So these creatures are magical and they're very connected to spirit world. Many, many things have been written about them. They're very symbolic for many people. And they are messengers from spirit world. They're angelic. And sometimes spirits on the other side are our angels, our guardian angels. They use them as our totem animal or insect to communicate to us. So ladybugs, I've had this amazing connection with ladybugs my whole life, because my nonna would tell me that they're little madonellas, like little angels. And she would always say, you never ever kill a ladybug. And then I actually did research, and they say that if you kill ladybugs in many, many cultures, you're going to have years and years and years of bad luck. So you don't kill ladybugs. But these ladybugs, it's about having goals and aspirations and, you know, moving up the spiritual ladder to kind of having, you know, a greater connection. They also bring happiness. So you might be in a terrible mood. So my nonna would say to me, one day I'll be gone, and if you see ladybugs, that will be me coming to talk to you. I have had ladybug encounters in the most amazing places, on top of Vesuvius, you know, in Italy, where ladybugs are little creatures. They're wings. They can't even fly that high. And I'm up there. I get out of the car. It was the first time I was in Italy for a long, long time, and that's where my nonna's body is buried. And this ladybug lands on me. And if they land on you, it's extra special. And it landed on me. Immediately, I was like, oh, Nonna. Oh, Nonna's come to say hello. Really amazing. I remember one time I was in the Hilton Hotel on the 30th floor. And I had a big speech the next day. Big keynote speech. I was really nervous about it. It was like 300 people I was going to speak to. And I was just tucked in my bed. And I didn't turn off the light yet. I just didn't have the feeling to turn the light on. And so I was just like in bed, and I was looking up, and there beholden on the ceiling of the 30th floor at the Hilton, there's a little bug. And I'm thinking, bug, oh no, great. It's going to fall on my face. Now I can't go to sleep. I thought it was a spider. And then I looked closely, and it was a ladybug. And I felt it was my nonna saying, you're going to be great tomorrow. Don't you fear. You'll be fine. And so I get these ladybugs that show up in my life. But other people get butterflies. For example, my friend Linda, whose birthday is today, synchronicity, she has such a collection of butterflies that she's little and petite, and these butterflies land on her. I took her to the butterfly sanctuary in Niagara Falls, and these butterflies are all over her. And so she communicates with that butterfly energy. Butterflies are about transformation. So whenever there's like a new change or transformation, you're going to see butterflies. Transformation, like think about it, but they're ugly, like caterpillar, wormy, disgusting thing, and it turns into something so incredible. It's just, it's like it's along with like the peacock, and you know, it's like magical. It's just a magical thing, and it always means transformation or higher transformation. Infinite potential is about to happen. Dragonflies, why? Dragonflies represent usually spirits, young spirits that have died. I have never had a more powerful example of this at one of my women's retreats at night. It was summertime and we were doing a fire ceremony. So we write all these letters and things that we're sad at and angry at, and then we burn the letters. And at the fire ceremony, this dragonfly went around her over 3-4 times, not around anybody else. It just went around her. It just flew around her 3-4 times and then came up to the chakra and then just disappeared into the forest. And everybody knew that it was her son. He had had a boating accident up in cottage country. He had died and she was going through so much pain. And this dragonfly came to her. And she knew it was him, and it gave her so much peace. Another one of my favorites is fireflies. Oh my God, OMG. If you have ever seen a forest full of fireflies, you've been blessed. It's like up there with double rainbows for me. It's just unbelievable. Most spectacular twice in my life. Once was in Tuscany. I had brought a group of people on a retreat to Italy, and for some reason it was warm. I wanted to go outside, and we were in this little villa, but there was a forest nearby. And I just had this feeling to go outside for a walk just by myself. And I saw all these fireflies. I could not believe the magical forest. I was almost afraid to leave because I thought if I leave and go get anybody, when I come back, they're not going to be here. Anyway, I went back. I got a whole bunch of people that were on my trip with me. We all went back to the forest. It was magical. It was unbelievable. We all made wishes out there. And it was full moon with these fireflies in this Tuscan woodland. It was unbelievable. And another time was at my retreat center for the women's retreats. And it was summertime. It was probably the same night as the fire, when Jane got the message with the dragonflies. But the fireflies are just magical, magical. And the message for them is that by itself, one firefly doesn't look that great. It's not spectacular, but at night it comes alive and it just has this amazing light. And I just think that represents so many human beings, you know, like we look in the mirror and we don't think that we're that great, that spectacular. And we have this beautiful light that in the right conditions, you know, because they don't always come out. It has to be right conditions. The weather has to be right. The humidity has to be right. It's got to be the right time of year. And under the right conditions with the right people who celebrate us and love us, you know, then we can shine our light. And I really, really want for all of you to shine your light in a magical, beautiful way like these fireflies. So, that's number 7, butterflies, dragonflies, ladybugs, and fireflies. A lot of people have attributed them to being like spiritual messengers. So pay attention this summer and see what's going on. If you've got a little white butterfly, I remember one lady that I met, she told me that she had this little white butterfly that would always come to visit her in her backyard. And she was convinced it was her mom who had passed away. And then she kind of got a little tattoo of a little white butterfly on her ankle. And that it was like a message for her that the white butterfly was always with her. So, you know, these totem animals and insects, you know, they mean a lot. You know, at my retreats, I'll tell people after they do a certain exercise, like go outside and just pay attention, be on your own and notice what's going on. And sometimes they'll come in and they'll talk about the wind or they'll talk about the leaf, and the leaf fell right, you know, right on their journal as they were writing, or there was like a hawk in the sky. Or, you know, there was like an interesting little yellow bird that came by, or, you know, a hummingbird. Hummingbird is also very spiritual. You know, it's the only bird that can fly in all directions. And it usually is a messenger. It comes, you know, it hovers and then it disappears. You know, it's like the UFO of birds, because it just like the way it moves. It's just unbelievable. It's very magical. Yes, we get hummingbirds in Niagara. We have a lot of birds here where I live. And I live in a, you know, there's a ravine and there's a forest, and the birds love the trees. And so I'm going to be paying special attention. Number 8, angels communicate through other people. So you've got your celestial team, and sometimes they have to nudge someone. They will nudge an empath. They will nudge someone who's sensitive. They will nudge a child. Have you ever had the experience where somebody comes to you just out of the blue, and they say to you the exact words that you have to hear and listen to? That's an angel. That's an earth angel, you know, that the celestial angel sent a message to. And then they come along your path. You know, movies are filled with someone just coming and then just saying what they have to say to you, making that difference, you know, giving you the message. You receive the message and then they disappear. So angels do use other people. I can't describe this. Sometimes I get these messages that like some people come into my mind really, really strong. And then I just have to call them. It's just going, okay, I gotta listen. Like they're in my mind really strong, like a downloading them, and then I'll call. And I can't tell you, it's like 9 out of 10 times they'll say, "Oh my God, how did you know?" Well, I didn't know, but obviously someone sent me a message. I got the message and then I delivered, because I'm an empath. I'm kind of like a bridge. I'm a middle person. So sometimes, you know, these messages, and sometimes it's you are the middle person. You know, you get this idea to go and turn left, not right. Or, you know, delay your shopping at the grocery store till later. But then what happens is that you were home at 5 o'clock and you saw someone across the street who was having, you know, a heart attack. And then you were able to call 911 and help that person out. I just think that, you know, life is so mysterious, and there's so many weird connections and synchronicities that happen. And sometimes it's all, you know, orchestrator. I think it's orchestrated by a higher power, you know, whatever you believe in, whatever that higher power is. I remember that this lady on the train for me, I was a student, probably third year, and my father had had a car accident, and I got a phone call that you have to come home. And my brothers were younger. And so I got on the train, but I didn't know what was going to happen if I got home and I would find my dad, you know, gone, that it was too late. He was in a coma, and I didn't know. And I was really, really scared. And I had a lot of uncertainty, and it was before, you know, cell phones and texting and stuff. And so I couldn't get messages across. And I was on the train and I was just crying to myself, and it was really sad. And this lady out of nowhere, just out of nowhere, she just comes and she just sits right beside me, and she starts talking to me. And I told her the story that I was going home and my dad had a car accident. My mother was out of the country at the time. That's what it was. She was out of the country. She was visiting her parents in Italy. I had two little brothers. I was going home and I was so scared that I was going to find my dad dead. And I was just so frightened. And I remember that she said, you know, whatever the pain is that's waiting for you at home, it's going to feed your art and you will be okay. And she said other words to me, but I just remember just feeling such a warmth feeling of like, wow, like, thank you. Like it was almost like mama spirit, or it was the nurturing love that I needed and the comfort and the encouragement. And then she disappeared. And I thought she had gone to like 3 seats behind me. I got up and I went to look for her, and she was gone, but the train had not stopped anywhere. She just was gone. She disappeared. I walked up and down. I couldn't find her anymore. So I always thought she was like an angel that was sent to me. So maybe you have people like that, that come, they deliver the message, and then they disappear. And maybe you've been like that. And that's also angelic interference. Number 9, buzzing noise in one or both ears. Sometimes it's like a ringing noise or buzzing. And sometimes it's like you check it out with the doctor and there's no medical reason, but there's a persistent buzzing noise. And research or experts in this area say that you're downloading some important spiritual information if that's happening. And it's going into your mind and it's just, it's coming through that channel, your auditory, and that's what's happening. So pay attention to that. That could also be spiritual evolution for you. And finally, number 10, numbers that repeat. My big number aha was 333. And when my husband and I were first dating, this number would show up all the time. You know, he would walk me home to my residence and it was like 433. And then I'd see something, it was 333 and it was 33. It was such a special number for us. And it's a spiritual number. It's the Holy Trinity. It also means to take action, you know, to go for it. There's all kinds of different numbers. So I'm going to give you a few patterns and you can write these down and see what you think. If you see 000, it signifies a new beginning based on trust and belief outside the rational thinking. Zero is inspired, enthusiastic, and brave. Okay. God is in the zero. It's like the omega, like beginning. Number 11 or 111 is a master number. It's a master number. Think of staircase. It's ascending. It's also a very powerful beginning. But this time it's about you. So it's not about God or angels. It's more about you. It's like, how can you be a leader? How can you start? How you can begin a new project? So if you keep seeing 111, it's like the message is begin, you know, go for it, believe in yourself, okay? 222 means you got to stop and get more information. Consult someone, including the angels. Say, hey, angels, I'm stuck on this project. And if you see 222, it means you're not ready yet. Don't take action. Get more information. 333, I talked about it already. It's the Trinity, it's holy. 444 or 444, you have to stop yourself, make sure you get plenty of rest. The four is all about self-care. If you're seeing a lot of fours, you've got to stop, smell the roses, have a cup of coffee, relax, take five for you. It's a conservative number. It's a reliable number. It is a strong number. It's traditional and it's a stable number. So if this is what you see, it's pay attention that you got to take some good care of yourself. 555 or 555. It's about bold. It's about adventure. It's about confidence and courage. Do something brave, you know, pick up that phone, ask the girl out, you know, sign up for match.com, do what you've been not wanting to do, think the things that you've been scared of doing, do something, take a little risk. If you see fives, it's about bold action. It's time to do it now. 777 is spirituality. Go within, meditate, strengthen your connection with the spiritual world and the angels, read a spiritual book, read poetry, meditate. So seven is all about going within, meditating. It's a sign. They're sending you this sign that you need to go within. Eight is a power number. It is abundance. It is prosperity. I always make sure that I have eights in my telephone number. So at my office is 905-688-0868. I loved that number that they gave me because I thought, okay, this is success. This is prosperity. It's also Asians, Chinese believe in eight. It's very much prosperity. It's a success number. But eight is also the number of infinity, okay? The infinity on its side, eight is infinity. And it's this forever quality. You're about to tap into the infinite source, which is God, which is love, you know, which is, you know, the oneness of all humanity. Nine, you're on a spiritual path of awakening, ascension, and mastership. If you see a nine, it's a master number. So it's time to shine your beautiful light to the world. So we're almost at an hour. My final thoughts, you, my darlings, are spiritual beings having a physical experience. I'm sure you've heard that before, but you are much more than you think you are. Open yourself up to the spiritual dimension, whatever that means, and whatever way that it manifests for you. You don't have to be religious to be spiritual. Please learn my lesson that it took me a long time to learn. Notice the synchronicities in your life. Notice the signs. Notice repeating numbers. Notice your dreams. Notice your totem animals or insects. Take photos and look at your old photos and see if you can find orbs, circles of light. Sometimes I can actually see faces. Sometimes they're small, they're medium, they're big, they're really, really bright, and some are not so bright. So I just feel that our angels, they love us. They want us to succeed. They want us to be happy. I feel like we have these team of angels and people who loved us and who are on that side. You know, you're not crazy if you talk to them or if you have something big going on and you say, you know, Nonna, I need you today, or Dad, you know, I want you to be with me today, or whoever it is that you love that's on the other side. They are your celestial team. I truly believe that. I've seen so much evidence at my retreats that these spirits show up just at the right time. Angels do want to make contact with you. They love you. They've been assigned to you. Some of them are your guardian angels. They've been assigned to you. And so they're there to protect you and to love you. And what really, really makes them sad is to think that you are alone. And sometimes if there's no human beings around you, know that you have celestial, spiritual beings around you and that you are not alone. So I encourage you to take 10 minutes and close your eyes every day and meditate and just let your mind wander and see what happens. The more you connect to the spiritual realm, the richer and more meaningful and more balanced your life will become. Thank you for listening tonight to me, to this. I hope you've enjoyed it, some of these ideas. God bless you. And may you keep your eyes and heart open for the messengers from your angels and your spirit guides. God bless.